Hi, this is Pastor Bill Woods, and I'm hoping that you're looking forward to having a great Christmas. I hope you're getting your heart ready and remember what it's all about. I want to talk today about if it's Christ's birthday, who is the fat guy in the red flannels? And I'd remind you of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My oldest daughter, when she was just a little girl, misquoted that, but I think she had something that right in her inside. She said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten Son. And too bad, that's where we are basically today. Someone thought they ought to give a birthday party for John. Several others liked the suggestion, so they began planning for it. Many people showed up for the party because it was going to be a lot of fun and have a lot of good food and games and things to do. About halfway through the party, someone said, "Where's John?" Everyone said, "Well, I thought you were going to invite him." No one had invited John to his birthday party. "Oh, well, we're having a lot of fun. Who needs John?" Or I heard about two women who were having lunch in an elegant hotel and they were approached by a mutual friend who asked the occasion. One lady said, "Well, we're celebrating the birth of my baby boy." "But where is he?" asked the friend. "Oh," said the mother, "you didn't think I'd bring him, did you?" What a picture of the way the world treats Jesus at Christmas time. Christmas is supposed to be his birthday when we praise him for coming to be our Savior. But today we have filled Christmas so full of reindeer and sleighs and little fat men in red flannel suits and tinsels and toys and wild parties, alcohol, drugs, tension-filled shopping, stress, and financial pressure until Jesus Christ isn't even thought of anymore. It's his party, but we forgot to invite him. You know, I was thinking about when I lived in Stevenson, Washington, and we were trying to set up a nativity set there in the church to remind people about what the day was. But there was no nativity set in any of the stores in Stevenson, so I went over to the Dalles, drove about 50 miles one way and back again. Anyhow, I looked in several stores and I found, Santa Clauses, and I found wreaths, and I found all kinds of things, reindeer and sleigh, but I could not find a nativity set in the Dalles, Oregon, to remind us that it was really Jesus' birthday we were celebrating. My question is, what in the world ever happened to that precious baby that was born in a manger? Somehow, Christ's humble birth has been reduced from the wonderful message of God loving us so much that he sent his Son, who became a man to save us from sin. We've reduced it to a legendary little story dripping with fictional ideas. Many people accept the nativity story the same way they accept stories of Paul Bunyan, Pecos Bill, and Jack and the Beanstalk. We've filled the stable with drummer boys, talking animals, even fat Santa kneeling over the manger. Isn't that how Satan works? He doesn't care if the truth is known as long as we can compromise it. We've drawn God's wonderful love story up in cartoon form and wedged it between Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and we wonder why people don't think more about Christ at Christmas time. I remember a couple of years ago, I saw a very blasphemous comic that somebody thought was funny, and I was very indignant about it. The comic cartoon showed a baby in a manger, and underneath was said, "Jesus, the red-nosed Savior, some would even say he glows." That was put out by Over the Hedge by Michael Fry and T. Lewis, and I thought, my goodness, how blasphemous can you get? The NEA has made it politically incorrect to sing religious carols or even recognize Christ in the public schools. When we lived in Pullman, Washington, the school district made a ruling that children couldn't even sing Christmas carols on the playground because they might offend some of the foreign students' children that didn't celebrate Christmas. That band even included Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. We don't want to remember what the day is all about. Our granddaughter Ariel taught school in Phoenix for several years, and the very same rules applied that nobody could celebrate or even mention Christmas. Isn't it time that we gave Christ back his rightful place at the center of the Christmas celebration? It's time to put forth more effort in praising God for sending his son. Someone will say, well, December 25th wasn't really his birthday. It was a pagan holiday celebrating fertility rites. So why should we celebrate that? Well, I'm not celebrating that. We don't know for certain the exact date of Christ's birth, but we can recognize the wonder of God's love in sending a Savior to save us from the terrible penalty of sin and the consequences of hell. Actually, Christ's death and resurrection, not his birth, that made our salvation possible, but we couldn't have his death on the cross without his birth in the manger. What we celebrate is the total life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, showing us once and for all time the supreme love of God. What in the world ever happened to the Savior on the cross? Many people willingly accept the story of the baby in the manger. They're willing to stand and ooh and ah and say, isn't that just wonderful? But are not willing to let Christ grow up. A little five-year-old girl, seeing decorations with her family, they'd gone out 3 years in a row, and they were looking at these decorations, and the little girl saw the Jesus laying in the manger, and she said, Mama, he's still a baby. Didn't Jesus ever grow up? The adult Christ is too demanding on people's lives. We just kind of want to see Jesus as a baby because it doesn't challenge us quite so much. But I want you to know he did grow up. He lived a perfect life. He poured out that life for you and me on a cruel cross. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's your Christmas present. He invites each of us to confess our sins to him and repent of those sins and to live for him. Luke 9:62 says, but Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Oh, the joy of accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and finding the peace of heart that only he can bring. Some people are so sick of themselves and how they are living, and they can just hardly get up in the morning. Some families are having so much trouble that it looks like the happy home will never be happy again, maybe not even a home again. The problem got even worse during the pandemic lockdowns a couple years ago. Jesus Christ came to this world to help people who are hurting from sin, to help people find purpose in their life, to help people know that they can have fellowship with God. Christ can forgive every sin and restore your self-respect. He can mend hurts and heartaches that sin has caused in your life. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus Christ is the answer to all human need. I want you to know that if you're going through a rough time, Christ can bring meaning to your life. Let him grow from the baby in the manger to the Savior of the world and ask him to be part of your life, to be your Savior. The world is lost and doesn't know it. I remember that when I was living at home, that my dad belonged to the American Legion. He went to some kind of a holiday meeting. I don't know what it was, and I don't know what happened while it was there, but he came home and he was perplexed. He said, I guess I was lost, but I didn't know I was. What in the world happened to that little baby in a manger? What in the world happened to that Savior on the cross? And then What in the world happened to the Christ in the tomb? Jesus Christ, that baby that was born in a manger, grew up to be Jesus Christ, the Savior on the cross. And when they took him down from the cross, they put him in the tomb. He stayed there only 3 days. Imagine the ad that was on, it would have been on Craigslist, slightly used tomb for sale or lease, only used once, only for 3 days, brand new condition. I can remember, you know, that after my dad died, he'd gotten mixed up, and I don't know, mentally a little problem before he died, and he began to write to psychics and wanting to know things about his future and all. And I remember that he died and he had not paid all the bills, and there was a letter that came to me from a psychic saying that they wanted his address because of the fact that he owed money. And I complied. I said, what a dumb psychic you are not to know what's going on here, that the man died. But his present address is, and I gave the grave number out at Blue Mountain Cemetery in Walla Walla, Washington. Dad's body is still there in his grave. Listen to me. Jesus Christ, God's Son, is no longer in his grave. He is alive and well today. He stands at the right hand of the Father, ready to forgive all who call upon his name in repentance. He's ready to lead, direct, and help all those who want to serve him. He's ready to bring peace, love, joy, and forgiveness to a sin-sickened world lost and plunging into an eternal hell. But not just the world. It's more personal than that. He wants to save you and me. That's God's gift to us, to you and to me. Christmas will have much more meaning for all of us when we know Christ as our personal Savior. Christmas is so much more than fat guys and red flannels and red-nosed reindeer and sleighs and all that the world is talking about today. Christmas is a time to remember that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I read about Pastor Clifford S. Stewart in Louisville, Kentucky. He sent his parents a microwave oven one Christmas. He recalls they were so excited. Now they could be part of the instant generation. When Dad unpacked the microwave and plugged it in, literally within seconds, the microwave transformed their two smiles into big frowns. Even after reading the directions, they couldn't make it work. 2 days later, he said, my mother was with a friend and confessed her inability to get the microwave oven even to boil water. She said, to get this darn thing to work, I really don't need better directions. I just need my son to come along with the gift. You know, when God gave the gift of salvation, he didn't send a booklet of complicated instructions for us to try to figure out. He sent his son. God gave his very best to us, the gift that keeps on giving, and shouldn't we give something back to him? Find the true meaning of Christmas this year. I'd like to leave a story with you that Paul Harvey used to tell on his radio program every year for years. It was about a man and birds. He said, the man to whom I'm going to introduce you was not a Scrooge. He was a kind, decent, mostly good man, generous to his family, upright in his dealings with other men, but he just didn't believe all that incarnation stuff which the churches proclaim at Christmas time. It just didn't make sense, and he was too honest to pretend otherwise. He just couldn't swallow the Jesus story about God coming to earth as a man. I'm truly sorry to distress you, he told his wife, but I'm not going with you to church this Christmas Eve. He said he'd feel like a hypocrite, that he'd much rather just stay at home, but he would wait for them when they came back. So he stayed, and they went to the midnight service. Shortly after the family drove away, snow began to fall. He went to the window to watch the flurries getting heavier and heavier. He went to his chair by the fireplace and he sat down. He said, as long as it's Christmas, might as well snow. And he began to read his newspaper. Minutes later, he was startled by a thudding sound, then another, and then another, sort of a thump or a thud. At first, he thought someone was throwing snowballs against his living room window. He went to the front door to investigate, and he found a flock of birds huddled miserably in the snow. They'd been caught in the storm, and in a desperate search for shelter, they'd tried to fly through his large landscape window. He couldn't let the poor creatures lie there and freeze. He remembered the barn where his children kept their pony. That would be a warm shelter. He could direct the birds to it. They would be safe. He put on his coat and galoshes and tramped through the deepening snow to the barn. He opened the barn doors wide and turned on a light, but the birds did not come in. He thought, well, maybe food would entice them in, so he hurried back to the house to find some breadcrumbs. He sprinkled them on the snow, making a trail to the yellow-lighted wide barn doorway at the stable. To his dismay, the birds ignored the breadcrumbs and continued to flap aimlessly all around helplessly in the snow. He tried catching them. He tried shooing them into the barn by walking around them, waving his arms. Instead, they scattered in every direction except the warm, lighted barn. He realized they were afraid of him. To them, he thought, I am a stranger, a strange and terrifying creature. If only I could think of some way to let them know that they can trust me, that I'm not trying to hurt them, but to help them. But how? Every move he made frightened them and confused them. They just would not follow. They would not be led or shooed because they were afraid of him. If only I could be a bird, he thought to himself, and mingle with them and speak their language, then I could tell them not to be afraid. Then I could show them the way to safety and to warmth, to the safe, warm barn. But I would have to be one of them so they could see and hear and understand. That moment, the church bells began to ring. The sound reached his ears above the sounds of the wind. He stood there listening to the bells, Adeste Fidelis, O come all ye faithful, listening to the bells pealing the glad tidings of Christmas. And he sank to his knees in the snow. As the snow fell on God's newest Christian, he whispered, Now I understand. Now I know why you had to come. Listen, Jesus had to come for you because you were lost. He had to come for me because I was lost. And if we were the only ones that were lost, he still, because he loves us, would have come and become our Savior, give his life for us to redeem us from all sin. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, why don't you take time to bow your head and confess your sins and ask him to come into your life, to forgive you, to make you to be the person that he would like for you to be, to bring that joy of having your sins forgiven and being part of the family of God. I'll tell you what, Christmas will have so much more meaning if you don't know Christ today, but you ask him to be your Savior and you find out what it means to be forgiven and have fellowship with God. Dear Father, I'd pray that you help each one that's listening to this podcast today, that you help them to realize, Lord, you did come. You did come because there was no other way that you could show us the way to salvation. And Lord, you're pointing the way so we can go to heaven and be with you forever. Thank you, Jesus, for this beautiful gift of salvation, for stepping into history, becoming a human being, and leading us the direction we should go. Don't let us be like those birds that just flutter and flap around and are lost. But Lord, help us to realize that Christ is the answer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I will not be preaching at the First Baptist Church tomorrow because there's another special speaker, but I'll pick up again after that and be preaching there. I would invite you, though, to come to the First Baptist Church tomorrow. That's at the corner of First Avenue in Buffalo, and I know that there would be good fellowship. And then tomorrow evening, we're having a dinner, and you're invited to come to that, too, if you would like to. I would remind you that if you want to get in touch with me, my mailing address is Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. Or you can call me at 623-845-2741. That number also would be a good text number if you wanted to send me a text. I'd be glad to do whatever I can to give you a little counsel if need be, to just extend a friendship if that's what you need, or somehow help you in whatever you might be thinking that you need today. God bless you. I wish you a Merry Christmas, and I do hope that you just do find the peace that only Jesus Christ can give.